can ask that this noise that is coming from that part to stop and disclose that it is coming from this room. You don't have to request your presence. Behind me, all we didn't hear is just the teeth, not the voices. The voices are disturbing us. We just need to hear the teeth. So, members, as I said, welcome all of you. Over and above that, the person that we need to welcome us is our whip, Honorable Nova. We have been out of circulation for some time. We see her back today. Welcome, my Nova. We hope that you are well. You can't be sick when you are in a portfolio committee for help. So welcome back. Remember, what we're going to be doing is two things that we're going to be doing. One of them, we're going to be looking at our previous minutes and adopting them. We don't think that's going to take us a long time. And the next on the agenda is to talk to the traditional healers of South Africa, their organizations. Baba will talk about that when they come. So I would suggest that we go on straight to adopting our minutes. I think we're going to call up. But if there are any apologies, I only know one apology from Honorable Dube, who was burying her brother last week on Friday. I'm not sure if there are any other apologies that we have. I'm going to ask if we are going to tell us if there are any apologies. She said she hasn't received. So can we go on to our minutes? The one that I have here, maybe let's start with the one that was on the 22nd of August, 2012, which was the briefing by the Compensation Commissioner of Occupational Diseases on their annual performance plan. And on the same day, we had a briefing by the Health Professional Council of South Africa and South African Medical Association, Board of Healthcare Standards, and General Association of South Africa, SADA, on the new medical terms. That is the one that I'm looking at. Hey, are we all having this copy? Yeah. The way we're going to do it is probably I'm going to go from page to page to see if there are any spelling mistakes. It's the 22nd of August, 2012. If we're going to have, if there are any spelling mistakes or there are any grammatical mistakes, and we'll start from page one to the last page. Can I go? The first page, are there anything that you think that's wrong on the first page? Last page, 2 years. If there's no hand up or somebody talking, I'll go past that one. Last page, 2 years. Seeing no hand, dream. Opening the mouth, presentation by DG, presentation by Dr. Kisna Sami. Last page, fear. I'm looking, there doesn't seem to be any. Okay. Let's say face. Response to clarity seeking issues. Remarks by the chairperson. Presentation by the Health Professional Council of South Africa. Let's say first. Starts with recitation and licensing of the practitioner to practice. Okay, member, can you go past and go to page 7, which starts with Dr. Mashoam Dhamma and ends up with the presentation by South African Private Practice Nashua. Okay, member, the last page, which is page 8. meeting was attended 1300 hours. I'm not sure whether we agree on those resolutions.
A comment. We've only just received these, and so there hasn't really been time to read through them. I did receive some previously, but I don't have those with me, so I actually didn't make the comments. So this is a new set of documents, so I feel I can't comment on this. And as it wasn't on our notification, we were doing minutes today, since you said the health practitioners meeting, so I did bring whatever else I previously had. So anyway, just leave it at that.
Okay. Thank you, Villa. What I saw was that these minutes were given a long time ago. I would understand if you would say that those that I have in the office, I've made comments. Now they are not here. But otherwise, reading them, one takes it that you should have read them. But be it that may, let me hear the others. What do they say? Okay, what do you say, ma'am?
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to reiterate on what you have just said. To be saying that this ministry could have adopted them long ago. They were distributed. And if the honorable member says that we didn't know that we should be dealing with meeting. Normally, the correct thing is in each meeting we deal with means. Therefore, I cannot like we say that we can't do it because we tend to have left them wherever we have left them. I suggest that we go on with the business of the day, which is adopting the minutes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Okay, let me ask Umego Pan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not against adopting the minutes, but I was thinking that maybe in future we should make sure that you don't stay for a very long time without it being adopted a minute, because August is too far now. So maybe for practical people, let's try to maybe to adopt the minutes within a short period of time. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. You want another point?
Yeah, just to clarify, I wasn't saying we shouldn't go ahead. I'm just saying I don't personally feel that I can contribute, so just accept that because I haven't got it where I've gone through them in detail that that I could comment very constructively. So I just wanted to say that, and if we can agree, we should just do them sooner, and then when we've got them, the originals with us, then that's fine. Then we know what we're talking about, and we can continue. But carry on. I wasn't saying stop. I'm just saying I'm not going to make a comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we're going to carry on because we think that probably we need to have seen them. But I just want to make a comment on this one that most of the time, as Honorable Sahale is saying, that we suppose every meeting is supposed to have some minutes that we adopt. But what usually happens is that you always get a lot of apologies, which is fair. But most of the time, you don't even get apologies. You just find people not being there, and we don't have a quorum. Now, it becomes very difficult to deal with them when there's no quorum. Because they need a quorum, we need to say we adopt them. And that's the legal way to do it. So that's why I always complain that. And maybe this brings the point that we should make sure that if people are not going to be around meetings, they should inform us before time so that we don't waste time and drink the minutes when we are not going to have a quorum. Or if we need very seriously the quorum, then we can talk to the other committees to help us. So I think this is what we must do. But unfortunately, you get into a meeting, you find that some people are not there, and they don't even send an apology to say, I apologize for not being in the meeting. But let's carry on this. We have dealt with this one. Are we adopting it? Instead of looking at the resolution. Okay, another one.
I propose adoption checks because the resolutions were made by ourselves.
Members, there's a proposal by one of the members that we should have. Who's the seconder? The reason why I wanted us to look at those resolutions, the first one, but I accept that it has already been done. The committee agreed that there was need for this industry to be regulated so that the poor can be protected. Isn't that vague? Don't we need to be more specific in that one? When we say that industry needs to be regulated, which industry are we talking about that needs to be regulated? Because HPCSA is already regulating the doctor. They're being regulated. And we're talking about terrorists, medical terrorists. Now, who's supposed to be regulated? I don't need your comments, members. I don't want to make my own comments. What do members say? Is this right the way that you put it?
I think, Jefferson, more than talking about the regulation, it's regulated. It is important for this industry to inform the general public, which is the consumer of services, because this only came just as I do. Did we know before? We didn't. We only had it when people were hepatic or as we take it off.
Are there any other comments before I come in?
Jonathan, I think the way I understood it when I read it, I thought that it was the main concern was around different terms from different people. Therefore, I think the issue which we talked about to be regulated is pertaining to the public. I need your advice.
Thank you, sir. I think the last time when we talked, we mentioned about the present commission that should also be involved. This is, if my memory gives me the way, it's one of the things that we talked about that day. We further said that maybe the Department of Health, specifically talked to our General Deputy Director, Dr. Blake, to say that he must also come and brief us because he's the one who's responsible for all these entities. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable. Go back. Maybe can I take us a little bit back and say the reason why we called them was because Health Professions Council of South Africa decided to put down tariffs for the private practitioners. And they were doing this against something that has not been done for far too long, because the last one was done 2006. Now, when they did this, the private doctors, be it the specialists or the GPs, they felt, and even including the dentists, they felt that those tariffs that they were bringing were far too low for what to run a practice is all about. So they were promising that they're going to take them to court if they enforce those tariffs. So that is the background of what we're talking about. Now, if we've got any resolution, it is just to say, not that they must be regulated, but what we needed to say, I think the second one is right, where we said this must be investigated, even whether the department could think of a pricing authority. But what needs to be done is that there needs to be an independent body that is going to investigate how expensive is it to run a private practice, including the nurses that you can employ, so that HPCSA can have informed tariffs. And part of that, we're doing it to protect most of the poor and the illiterate who go to a doctor, and some of them get charged more than what they're supposed to be charged. Some of them, because it's medical aid, and medical aid, besides on what tariff, those ones on medical aid, they are protected, because medical aid don't say, I'm going to pay this amount. But those who are paying cash, and some of those who are illiterate, are going to be asked to add some more money over and above what medical aid is. So it was a way of protecting. So probably we need to remove the fact, because the second one actually covers what we wanted to say. I would agree with Uman not to say, maybe let's just delete it and leave it without it. Can we agree on that, member? I'm posing a question. Uman is getting married, saying, I do. Okay, can you pass on from this one and then I'll accept it with this? It has already been.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
The next one is the 29th August 2012. This was a briefing by Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Northwest Provincial Department of Health on revitalization programs and their state of readiness for implementation of norms and standards. Have you got that document? Remember, you've got that document. Okay, if you've got that document, we'll do exactly the same as the other one. We go to blood say yes. I'm looking at your hands. Blood say 2 years. Blood say 3. Blood say 4. Page 5. Page 6, which happens to be the last page. Are we agreeing on this one? That this is what they say. I'm looking at your head, member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I see it as the true reflection of what happened on the day.
I also see it as a reflection of the day.
We've got to try and remind ourselves whether Umango was still there that day or not. I know, I'm sure you're there. Okay, can you pass it? The only thing that I probably would, but it's not a very serious one, but when we call this development, not only Mpumalanga and Northwest, we're not looking at their readiness to implement any size. But what we're looking at, we're looking whether are they ready to implement what could make their institutions be whatever they accredited. I think that's because we know they are not ready. But to work towards preparing for them. But it's not a question of English. Maybe let's leave it because it's not ready. But we're not looking at their readiness because we know they are not ready. And all of them, they said that they are not ready for the new law if it could be passed. But are they working towards making their institutions ready? But let's leave that one.
Yeah.
Honorable Lehecko.
Thanks, Chair. I'm on page 3. Presentation by the Northern Cape. I remember vividly the fact that there is a common hospital that will be started in 2016. The MEC, Sokosha, also mentioned and complained about the hospital that is overcrowded, that is the Otaru Hospital. I even met with the manager of the hospital at some time and checked with him because I'm from that area. But it's not here on what he said that day. I'm saying about the overcrowding of Macarros Hospital. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable. I thought you were coming from Northwest.
Originally, I'm from Kuru.
I think what also almost confusing is if you wanted to know about their infrastructure for implementation of not necessarily of the any kind, but of the norms and stuff. How ready are they
infrastructure-wise, are they ready?
Okay, thank you. Another one, Mr.
Sir. I thought you had your hand up. I just said the problem that we then led us to adopt, then discuss us. Can we change the time?
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, through you from Northwestern. Yeah, not by... Okay, no, let's adopt them. Let's just leave it. Let's leave all those things because there was a misunderstanding in any case.
Okay. Can we go on to the 19th September 2020? You've got those things. It's written by Western Case, Eastern Case, Department of Health on Hospital with Migration Readiness, the Department of Health and Regulation, which have infants and young children. You should be having that question.
Okay, we'll start with 12. Though I'm not going to move from the 12, but I was not there in this particular meeting, but you were all there. So I'll just coordinate. It was written by Limpopo Provincial Health Department on revitalization and the state of readiness. So can you go on to the first page? Can you go to the next page? Last page here. Last page 3. Feel. Last page 5 and the last page here. Members, is it a true reflection of what happened on that day? Member Dita.
Thank you, Dr. Sun. I move off this unit is the school.
Kelly Muhammad. And Umar Mabo, we have to avoid. Oh, okay, one more.
It's a matter of shaking up. You guys, they were supposed to give us something since we sent in a week's time. Have you received it? Because when they came here, they were all over the show. And I even said, you've got progress, all you've got infrastructure issues all over the show, and you are telling us that we are not with you really around that. Can we have a well thought of information in a week's time? So they have not. Is it possible? Oh, by the way, we're just about to close. But remind them all the same. If I'm saying what I said, honorable members, but they made a mess, really. They had infrastructure programs throughout the program, and they were not clear on any of them. So when we said, this you did rushingly, because you wanted to come, they said yes. Then he said, give something that you are not going to do it rapidly, but now you give us in a week's time.
Okay. I think what we wanted is whether the true reflection of what happened on that day. But Woman Mambo is just adding another point, which has got nothing to do with whether this is a true reflection. So let's get to know, somebody has said this is a true reflection. We just needed a second. Okay. So that is the second. I think we'll have to follow up that haphazard problem. But one probably would somehow understand that the Health Department of Health is under administration. And the MEC is very new, but we're going to push them to give us something that is well organized to tell us what is actually going on. Thank you, Mano. Okay, we'll pass on from that one. Let's go on to the 19th September. Which is briefing by the Western Cape, Eastern Cape Provincial Department, briefing by the Health Department on regulations of food. Okay, can we go to page 1? paid to page 3. Page 4, remember. Page 5. Page 6. Last page 7. Page 8 is one line. The attendment of the meeting. Are we accepting this as a true reflection of what happened that day?
On the recommendation, page 7, I think the committee emphasized on the primary health care of Western Cape. They accepted that they are not doing well, and even as the committee, we emphasized that something must be done to improve the primary health care.
On the resolution.
On our resolution.
And this does not appear.
I don't see it. Maybe it is written with a white pen.
Honorable members, there's a part that was mentioned and it does not appear. We said it's not a true reflection of us, so we should add that part. Because it's supposed to be there. Okay? Okay, can you adopt them with the corrections? Okay, Mando.
I second the adoption with the corrections.
Any second? Memo, please.
Second, I second the minutes.
Thank you. Members, we are supposed to. There's one that I just wanted to skip. Which one is that? Which is with the 9th of October. I think, can we skip that for a minute and go to the 10th October, which is about the National Health Authority Service and their annual report. Can we go to that one? And just one page. Is it a true reflection of what happened on that day? Okay, I'm looking at you, members.
Sure.
Okay. Members, this is a move that we are talking. Honorable Mr. Khaile, second. Thank you, Member Kopa.
I don't see my name on the attendance register here. Well,
were you around?
No, I was not in this meeting, but where there is an under apology, nothing is reflecting.
You don't see your name on the apology?
No.
Mr. Kopat, Mr. Dev, you apologize?
No, I don't see. I was expecting my name to be written under this. I'm not apologizing.
Okay. No, we'll add to my company.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I can't start off the meeting without sending apology. I send the apology.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we just verify with the office, then they correct it if ever there was any apology.
Okay. Method, we'll put your name in. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. We'll verify and then we'll put it in. Oh. Also.
I don't see my name there, but I submitted an apology. That is what I normally do. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll investigate and we'll put in. We'll go to Hansard. Okay, thank you. Okay, can you go to the briefing by the Council of Medical Institutions on their annual report? Even that one is just 2 pages. It's page 1 and page 2. I'm looking at your hands. Is this the right hand, Zubey?
Chairperson, I think it's a spelling mistake. I think it's got Mr. Trevor Bailey, not Mr. Trevor Bailey, on page 2.
It's page 2. The second, the first one is Munabi Sikanto. The second one is Trevor Bailey. That's the correction. It's not Trevor, it's Bailey. Okay. Thank you very much, Elbe. We're going to look at it. Well, sir, some of us have got handwriting as if we're using our feet to write. Especially doctors, they are very known. I'm not sure what address by the doctor, but doctors, they were very bad handwriting. But I'll tell you. No. What he does, she gives a register to everybody to write their name. So it is them who write their names. And if it's the doctors who write it, then it becomes a serious problem. But I know the advantage of having a bad handwriting is that those who have got a bad handwriting, those people who have got a bad handwriting are more clever than those who have got good handwriting. If you want an explanation, I can tell you later on. It has been proved. The research has been done. I'll tell you. Okay. Can we adopt this minute? I'm looking at two members. Honorable Zahale, sir.
I move to adopt it.
Thank you, honorable member. Any second? Members is there. Thank you very much.
I move for
thank you. Thank you, Lebuyele. Welcome. Mema Kenya. The last one is the Auditor General South Africa on the performance of the department. The reason why I decided to take this one last is because it's part of the report that was going to be part of the DRRR report. So, and we've got a very big report that we're going to be presenting to Parliament at some stage, which I think we adopted. So, but if there's anything that you pick up which is not a true reflection of our tablet, but all I'm saying is that we don't need to waste time on this one because there's a bigger report which is on the budget review recommendation report. That deep side, Anatom Sahai, tell me that you agree that we should that leave. Okay. What the other members are saying? Oh, let's adopt it irrespective of the fact that I'm being advised that we have to adopt it. Can you adopt it? The 9th October 2012, which is briefing by the Auditor General of South Africa on the performance of the Department of Health, which happened in just 3 pages, but it has, the detailed report is actually in the DRRR report, which is the Budget Review Recommendations report. Can we adopt this? Okay. Honorable sir.
Because I'm a regular attendant of this portfolio committee, it will reflect in the meeting that I adopt because I was there always.
Kelly Muhammad. Any second? I see 30 seconds. Kelly Muhammad. The lady who moved is the one who was actually chairing the PRR report, so she knows exactly what I mean. Thank you, member. At the time now, it's quarter to 11. We are going to our second. But you need to You know, today is a World Diabetes Day. It being a World Diabetes Day, one thing that I know about diabetes is that you have what they call polyuria and polydipsia. So maybe some of us would want to go and relieve themselves because they're diabetic. So we don't want to obstruct them. Let's give a 5-minute break that people can go and relieve themselves, and then we come back at 10:02 and start the meeting with our... No, let's make it 5 minutes, because we're going to have another team. Let us go for 5 minutes. Okay, that 5 minutes, while our visitors are already here. Huh? Oh, there's nobody in here. Come on, let's open it.
I'm not sure.
Members, I think it's time for us to start again. We said it was going to be only 5 minutes, and I'm hoping that we are back. Members, we are meeting traditional healers of South Africa today, and I'm told they are already here. One thing that we are very much aware of in South Africa is that we are looking after the health of our people, and the oversight that we're doing, and the budget that we pass, and the laws that we make to transform. We're trying to work around health of our people in South Africa, making them healthy. Obviously, we are not yet where we're supposed to be. The department is very far from where it's supposed to be, and our health indicators are still not very good in every respect. But we know for a fact that the department is trying very hard, and the trade are doing very well in the direction of making a healthy South Africa. We've recently seen the life expectancy being, we're told by the researchers that it has come down. We've recently seen that those children that get infected by their mothers during birth have decreased. So there's so many other things that you could call it. But be it that may, we're still far from where we're supposed to be. Now, we thought it was important for us to call the traditional healer because a lot of our people, and on the literature, they could be more than 70% of our people are attending traditional healers. Now, we thought it was important for us to call them if they make any contribution, whether positive or negative, to the healthcare system. We need to call them as long as there are still people that are attending them. It means there is some contribution. So we decided to call them so that they can talk to us and tell us what is going on so that we can have a very good understanding. If need be, whatever regulations that need to be done, they'll be done, or whatever laws that need to be put in, they can be put on. So that we can monitor what is going on, because at the end of the day, we want a healthy South Africa. So they are here with us. The people who are representing the traditional healers is Dadundu. Nango Eselava, welcome, Ben, Sir Kunen, and Wambake, no Mama Seko. Mama Seko, Nakana Nyambona, welcome, Mama Seko. So they are already here, so they are going to be telling us. And it's so interesting for those who were there yesterday, because this ties up very well with what happened. I'm just narrating some stories to you. But yesterday, there was a book that was being launched by some professor. The leader was Professor Quinton Johnson. He launched a book that was talking about traditional medicines that were used in Eshowe 111 years ago. And these medicines were picked up by a doctor who came from Norway, who landed up in Eshowe. And when he was working there, the Western trained medical doctor who landed up in Eshowe, and he looked at the traditional medicines that were being used by the traditional people there, and he recorded almost all of them. And now they decided to combine that, those lessons that he knew from Norway and from his writings, and how, what were they doing and so on. So he was launching that book yesterday. It was very interesting, probably needed to be said. But unfortunately, it was not about the discussion, it was just tough that launching this book. So even if you're not there, you wouldn't ask questions, what happened, when. It was not about that, it was about the fact that they're just launching the book. So I think it ties up very well with calling you here today on a World Diabetes Day. So you are most welcome. Members, as I said, they're here. We're going to allow them to present to us, and we're going to engage them with questions. Maybe before we move on, let them, since I've told them who you are, they'll have to tell you who they are, the members of parliament. We'll start with Umanov, and then we'll go down so that you can say who are, so that you can put a face on somebody asking a question and put a name and a face. Umanov.
My name is Moses Khalifa from the North of Province.
Good morning. My name is Denise Robinson. I'm originally from the Eastern Cape. I'm from a family that's very much into herbs and medicines and traditional things, but I represent the Western Cape. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Lekhebo. As I said earlier on, originally from Kuruman, I'm now residing in Mafikeng, North West Province. Thanks.
My name is Lekha Makosha Mozete from Gauteng. Thank you.
Molweni. Igama lam nguthandi weKen, ndivela Eastern Cape, ndikule komti yakaheza.
Dumela, lebitso la ka ke Esma ka le Mphihlihle Kopane, ke tswa Freistata mane Mangaung. Ke a leboha.
O tswa mo Mangaung?
Ke tswa kereng e tshweu ntate.
Okay, thank you very much, members, for introducing yourself. As I said, we've got a lot of our people who attend traditional healing. And one thing that always reminds me about some of the things is that I think all over the world, the thing probably that we need to change is to make sure that we respect everybody. Be it I'm illiterate, be it I'm poor, but all I need is respect. So in doing this, we're trying to make sure that we respect everything that goes on in South Africa. And one always imagines that before 1652, I'm sure my people that gave birth to me the time I was born who lived before 1652. The only thing that they used was herbal medicine, because there were no conventional medicines at that time. And the fact that I'm alive tells me that what they were doing made them to live so that I would be born at the same time. Now, I cannot at any given time say probably what they were doing was wrong. I cannot say what they were doing was useless. But with the dynamic nature of life, what has happened is that one at least needs to know whether that thing really helped, and has it been researched to the quantities of it that need to be used. The other thing that we have noticed, some of us might not have attended transplant healer, but I see Mamos is not very well how to connect. She's teaching us how to connect with transplant healers. But what we have seen is that there's a lot of people who come up being driven by greed, who come up and say, we are traditional healers. We know certain medicines. We can cure certain things. But when you follow it, you find that that person is just driven by greed. It's not driven by knowledge. this thing goes on, and some of them, they've got little information, and the doses that they use. At a certain time, I was working in a renal unit in Japan. Most of the patients that we called were renal failure were actually having renal failure because of herbalectins that were used. That's the second part. The third part is that we've seen something that has been happening in South Africa, that a lot of people are being killed, and when they are killed, it is said that a certain part of a body of a human being was needed to make a certain muti or ritual. Now, these are some of the things that are worrying the committee. Now, we're hoping that you're going to clarify those things for us, because we just need people who are genuine, who are honest. When they know, we can't say they don't know, but sometimes you only get to know when a mistake has happened. So if you could tell us how to know the right one, how to know those that have got the knowledge, or how should we help in making sure that the right ones are known. I thought it was important for that opening, because we've been taken for a ride at certain areas. At certain areas, I don't know, I'm not very clear in this, that's why we wanted you to come. I'm told that the person who's ready is who Dr. Ndogo is ready to tell us what's going on, and then Upepsile is going to come after. Am I right? Okay, we give over to you, Dr. Ndogo.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. As correctly alluded to by the Chairperson, but my name is Holly Ndogo. Born and bred on the banks of the Maisha Mountain in South Africa, residing in Mthatha. Currently, up until February 2013, serving as the General Secretary of the NUPATRA, which is a unitary professional association for traditional health practitioners of South Africa. Chair, I think on the minutes also to thank this opportunity afforded to us by your committee on this important day to once more present before the committee. I was counting when I was on the way that most probably I'm appearing for the seventh time before the committee since 1995. The first interaction was in 1995. Now the presentation will be precise. It will cover the features of African traditional medicine in South Africa. Of course, taking to context that South Africa is part of the continent. The second aspect it will be on the advances made to date, and it will zoom on the existing opportunities for us as a country and for the sector. And it will be challenges and conclusions. It is common cause, as already alluded by the Honorable Chair, that the majority of people of Africa still rely on the services, not only of African traditional medicine, but all services of traditional health practitioners for their health purposes, for their spiritual being, and the holistic health for themselves, their families, and the society. Reason being that traditional medicine is tolerated, and therefore it requires to be institutionalized and the practitioners to be recognized. You know that, again, that may throw a very serious controversy to all of the members to say who have passed the legislation, Act number 22 of 2007. Was that not Act seeking to recognize, and what does that mean when you're still talking of recognition? The African Union heads of states and their government through the EU ministers of health declared the years 2011 to 2020 as the second decade of African traditional medicine. And South Africa is part of that. Also, it's another achievement that South Africa, as part of SADC, is part of the SADC Committee on Traditional Medicine. But we need also to appreciate that South Africa has developed various pieces of legislation on IKS, Indigenous Knowledge System. With those pieces of legislation, they've got a bearing on the development and of the sector. More importantly, is the Act Number 22 of 2007, which is the Traditional Health Practitioner Act of South Africa. There are a number of attempts that have been made by a number of bodies to acknowledge and recognize the existence and the role of traditional health practitioners. Also, we need, among others, to acknowledge the role by our parliament and this committee in particular. Having said that, there are all these policies like the Indigenous Knowledge System Policy of 2004 under the Department of Science and Technology, the NEMBA Act, that is National Biodiversity Management Act number 10, 2004, inclusive Act number 22 of 2007. But there are still huge challenges. But before I deal with the challenges, Honourable Chair and members, I'll just quickly deal with some key opportunities. One amongst others is that huge traditional medicine knowledge is generally accepted by patients and consumers, and that needs to be harnessed into our national health program. Because it can be a major point contributor in the primary healthcare program, caring for the sick and the dying at home, in hospices, and old age homes. The biodiversity of medicinal plants for scientific research and development and their institutionalization that can make a meaningful contribution into the secondary economy of our country. Collaborative research programs and projects in human capacity development for THPs, vis-a-vis training of biomedical workers on the management of patients with mental health problems, participation and contribution of the sector in the national reconciliatory effort, certificate exam, as I've already alluded to the fact that I reside in Mthatha, but for the past 2 days I've been here around the country, part of the days I spent in the Pretoria, because we are in preparation for the celebrations of the December 16th, which should be a reconciliation day. And we're looking at means and ways of ensuring that that day is not just a symbolic celebration, but it has got a meaningful impact to the society. Science research, when fully supported, could put African traditional medicine in a global picture and possibility of influencing policy change globally, they exist. Honorable Chair members, I'm zooming into the challenges that are facing the sector in South Africa. Chair, I want to acknowledge the direction that was provided by this committee in 2006 in terms of the change the direction of formulation of legislation. Because the committee directed to the Department of Health that the formulation of that legislation, it should not be for traditional health practitioners, but the traditional health practitioners must participate from the initiation up to the conclusion of the process. But again, we need to appreciate that the traditional health practitioners in our country, they have never been opposed in the formulation of legislation. As that act is in place, not yet implemented, but already there are identical limitations of the act. Hence, I referred to lack of recognition, but embassy on regulation. The process of appointing the council by the Minister of Health, for us as a sector, we view it as a process that can serve too long. Because we are of the view that that council, because it's an interim council, as it was directed by Parliament, it has to do a lot of groundwork because before it can be a full functional statutory council to regulate the profession. With regard to challenges on the medical control in our country, one of the critical issues that we are of the view that pose challenge to us is the total neglect on the registration and regulation of Afghan registered medicine, which probably could be linked with what was raised by the Honourable Chair in terms of the toxicity of SARS, probably because of poor administration. The issue of ethical approval process, which is not appropriate and friendly to traditional medicine clinical research, because most unfortunately, the system is designed for practitioners of African traditional medicine, not with them. It is designed by another sector based on the norms of another sector. There is a dire need to test traditional medicine. Our view is that that should be done in a clinical trial approach to protect consumers and further to add value to African traditional medicine products. And that the process of research should be done not in African traditional medicine, but it must be done for the development of the African traditional medicine and development and advancement of the practitioners, which therefore requires meaningful participation of the practitioners themselves. You cannot do that, Honorable Chair, if there is no transformation. Hence, we have the view that if the Medical Control Council still stands as it is, it will not be in a position to do this work. That actually requires a total revamp or alternatively proposing a separate council for legislation and regulation of African traditional medicine products. With the current establishment of the MCC, an African Traditional Medicine Committee to look at the registration and regulation of African medicinal products, it has been decided, but it remained on paper. That committee has never been constituted for the past 2 years. So, again, I think there is a need to look that the establishment of a committee or decide on the establishment of a committee is meaningless if there are no clear regulations and guidelines that are developed for products of African tradition. The failure to have this committee have met for the past 2 years obviously has got a negative impact on the registration of products and advancement of the economy, not only for the sector, but for the country as a whole. On the process of ethical approval of the applications for the conducting of clinical trials on African traditional medicine, our experience, without being involved, but observing from a distance, is that it is handled by a committee that has no clue of the discipline. And this causes a lengthy and costly delay. Therefore, there is a need, once more, to consider an establishment of a separate ethics committee and clinical trial evaluation committee of the Medical Control Council. Probably is very running short of saying there is a need to have a separate regulatory body for African traditional medicine. The research that is conducted, we are still of the view that there is a need to provide more support financially, so that the research that we have in the country does not necessarily demand on the international funding with international money. Because if we depend much on the international funding for the research, we'll have to toe the line and the money, execute the money of those who fund it. And I think it's one of the issues that it's important for this committee to look at it microscopically. Maybe to have a ring-fenced funding for African development and research may make a difference. Reason being that if we acknowledge that African traditional medicine and their practitioners exist at times immemorial, but they've been marginalized, deprived over the decades, it therefore becomes imperative that we should not expect it to automatically flourish and move with time without affirming it. There should be a clear process of acknowledging that it has been in existence, it has been practiced, it's still recognized by the majority of the population, but yet it has been marginalized over a period of time. We need to make sure that there is a process in terms of policy shift, in terms of legislative shift, to make sure that it is affirmed. As we acknowledge the process of development of the Bill number 17 of 2005 in terms by the Department of Trade and Industry, but again that bill seemed not to address holistically the issues of intellectual property in relation to African traditional medicine and practice. In conclusion, Chairperson, all our chair members, in the presentation, I have considered the serious time constraints that as business that the members should consider. But generally, is that the majority of the pieces of legislation, the member acts and the others, they don't seek to work together with Act number 22 of 2007. Most of some of the pieces of legislation that are in existence, they pose a hindrance in the advancement and development and the practice itself. Hence, I said at the beginning in the introduction, as much as we have got the Act, the professional view that it is still not recognized, because that Act has looked at regulating the profession, but it did not seek to repeal any other legislation that is a hindrance. It didn't even consider the repeal of the Risk Suppression Act of 1967. So I think, Chair, it is in that context that we say the issue of recognition is still a challenge. In conclusion, we acknowledge the initiatives from the Department of Health on matters of traditional African traditional medicine and the traditional practitioners. However, all government departments that deal with indigenous knowledge systems and traditional health profession matters, it becomes important that they engage on proper consultative approach, especially with the organized formations of traditional health practitioners in the country, something that happens seldomly. There is also a need to support the African traditional medicine research and probably support units like the MRC unit, IKS unit, which in a way we appreciate the initiatives that it has done so far and also involving and consulting our sector. It is so unfortunate that it has come to our attention that the MCC is seriously considering to close down that unit. And again, we should feel that if that happens, it would be a major reversal of the game. And lastly, Chair, I think additional practitioners should be assisted by government so that they can be able to decide and handle matters pertaining to them and not be decided by others. And maybe a matter that needs a serious review is the location of the unit that deals with traditional health practices. Is this correctly located within the Department of Health? If we need it to be given a proper focus for affirmation, won't it be necessary probably to relocate it to traditional affairs or to the president? I'm saying this because as a center, we have been struggling with struggles and events just to have an introductory meeting with the new Minister of Health. And we are of the view that our center is not a priority of the department. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member.
Thank you, sir. Members, I'm trying to lobby you that we ask questions when both are presented. It's taken almost 25 minutes, it's close to 30 minutes. And I take it that even Pepsi's presentation is going to be around that. And at 12:30, we're supposed to be out of this room because most of the members have got something else that they go to, so we won't have a big number, including myself. So we give over to you, Pepsi, and you'll be asked, the two of you. So let's give over to you to tell us, to make your own presentation. You're going to show us the bioscope or not? You're going to be presenting from your computer? Is it connected? Okay, can somebody help us and connect it? You need... So we would look at it. Okay, maybe you can see it. I'm told that rooibos tea lowers your blood sugar. But once again, I'm not sure whether it lowers your blood sugar when you use it with sugar, or it lowers blood sugar without using it. And it's something that was used as a traditional medicine at some place, and it was found that it's tea. And I'm told that's MRC that is telling me that it lowers your blood sugar. I'm mentioning it on the therapeutic day. But you welcome, Honorable Chair.
I said I'll quit my cold coffee for some rooibos.
We would like to say thank you so very much for having afforded us the opportunity to come before you to present on the historic achievements and perhaps challenges that we faced as a sector. Members, there are quite a number of issues that we think we need to present before you, which we think are very, very important for us as a sector to drive. But right, before I even go into that, let me just introduce the organization from which I come, Chairperson. I come from the Traditional Healers Organization, which is an organization of close to 72,000 members registered. And our membership comes from four categories of practitioners. And those are heavily, those are diviner healers, Izangoma. Those are traditional birth attendants and traditional surgeons in Mindi. Our members come from all the different provinces of the country, and we've got regional offices in different provinces. However, another important area to note, members, is that the THO also has members in other parts of Africa, most particularly the southern part of Africa. We've got members in Mozambique, in Swaziland, in Zimbabwe, and we've begun to have relations with healers in Uganda. THO was established in 1970, and we started off our traditional primary care program, which is an equivalent to primary health care development program in 1982. And since then, we've been able to use that particular program to continue training members on basic primary care issues. The organization has established a code of ethics and code of policy document, which is able to assist us regulate, the standard practice of member healers, so that we are able as an organization to ensure that if we talk about issues of conformity and issues of ethical practice, at least we are held responsible because were able to monitor from time to time satellite of member practitioners. And this was done in partnership with the University of KwaZulu-Natal. THO has CETA accredited programs, SWCETA accredited training programs. And also we've presented a number of times in national and international conferences. We obviously own a website and Facebook program which members can be able to engage at any given time. The other things I think that are so much important to the honorable members, you know, in terms of the organization. Because my colleague has alluded to a number of things that I wanted to present on, so I'm not going to present on some of the things that he has already presented on, but instead I'm going to look at slide number 4. For your presentation. And and also I'm not going to speak on this slide because already some of the things on this slide has already been touched with by my colleague. It's only just exercise and make members aware that as he alluded correctly, so that in 2001 July traditional medicine day was the decade of traditional medicine was adopted by Africa ministers of health, and South Africa also being a signatory to WHO and AU also was part to this, and we're able to adopt South Africa, and thereof expected therefore to celebrate and commemorate the day every 31st of August. So probably there are some of the things that I'm not sure if members are aware of that. And then also take you through to maybe let me just talk. There's something that the Honorable Chairperson spoke on. He spoke on the launch of the book on traditional medicine. In South Africa, we've got, when you talk about traditional medicine, we classify traditional medicine in about how many? In about two elements, traditional medicine. The first element is that we have traditional medicine, which is more African traditional medicine, which includes initiate our own indigenous resources in South Africa, our own past. And then, of course, and that is supposed to be guided and reside within the traditional health practitioner comfort. It's supposed to take charge and be able to regulate all of our issues. And then we've got traditional medicine, which is not necessarily African traditional medicine, which is more your sister sciences like your Ayurveda, Inani, Unani teeth, and all of these Chinese traditional medicines. Those ones are not necessarily a jurisdiction or a responsibility of traditional health practitioners in South Africa, but instead they are a responsibility of allied health practice, which is a sister council. Okay. So today, as African traditional health practitioners, as South African traditional health practitioners, we would like to only base our discussion on only African traditional medicine practice, which is a more comfortable zone because that is where we exert more of as practitioners in the country. and just to bring the members into understanding, we in South Africa we've got about how many councils? I think we've got about we've got a number of regulatory mechanisms that we have in South Africa. And all of these, they reside within the Department of Health, which is not a problem, which is a very good thing to do. We've got the Health Professions Council, we've got the Dental Technician Council, we've got the Nursing Council, we've got the Pharmacy Council, the Allied Health Professions Council, which is more a sister council. What we do not have the Traditional Health Practitioners Council. This is a council which is responsible for our conduct as practitioners. Hence, the number of malpractice that happens within the profession is because people are very loose in the country. They do not have a body corporate that they're responsible to account to. And with what the Honorable Chairperson has just said in terms of malpractice and all of those things cannot necessarily be corrected by the THO.
Can you hear members with the noise next door? Or should we try and stop them? Somebody
has gone.
Oh, okay.
I'm okay. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. I was just saying to honorable members that, it's very difficult for us as an organization to control some of the ill practices that happen within the industry of traditional medicine practice, because we just an organization, and not necessarily a council, which has the responsibility to, you know, to assist with issues of regulatory matters.
Maybe let me be the odd. Can you go another circle for us? Because it seems that they don't want to listen to the young ladies. They're too young. Oh, okay, continue.
Yes. Just to continue there, is that in South Africa, if you look into the health system, the health practice in South Africa, we have noted through the research that was conducted by the South African Health Review that we've got about 34,000 Western medical trained doctors, of which from those 7,000 are GPs, we've got 11,000 pharmacists, we've got 100,000 professional nurses, 84,000 of those are staff nurses and auxiliaries. We've got 3,600 complementary medicine practitioners, which come from the sister side. And then we've got 185,000 traditional medical practitioners, which we represent. The very last are unfortunately not, most of them, I mean, not necessarily because we can, which I think medical schemes would know, with CAMS, some of the medicines that are registered as CAMS medicine or complementary medicine are already benefiting from medical aid schemes. Unfortunately, it's only just traditional medicine, African traditional medicine, that does not necessarily benefit from medical aid. And you ask yourself, why is it so? And surely it could be so because, you know, because of politics and wanting to advance inequalities in the healing, in the health sector. But in any case, let me just continue to say, even though traditional medicine continues to have to face a lot of challenges in terms of its development, there are quite a number of developmental issues that you can register on traditional medicine. Among others, the fact that traditional medicine contributes close to $3 billion to the GDP of the country. It also is responsible for the health of about 27 million South Africans, which is about 72% of South Africans. They depend on traditional forms of healing, and they do not necessarily depend on traditional forms of medicine only just because of for primary care, you know, but also for advanced and chronic care. And that is why today, I mean, that is why we have a number of drugs that develop from traditional medicine, which among others would include penicillin, you know, and a number of others that honourable members will probably know. The visits to traditional medicine is on average sitting at 4.8 times per year, you know, with consumers that visit traditional health practitioners. At least the other thing that we can register is that traditional medicine, at least is able to employ about 133 people into this industry. So in other words, it's a fully fledged industry, meaning that we have three traders, which trades in traditional medicine. We've got harvesters, plant harvesters. We've got full-time traditional health practitioners that sit in multi-markets. And all of these things, they show us how much traditional medicine remains to be relevant and also contributing towards the development of the sector of health and also in the economy of the country. I'm going to jump some of the slides because I don't think there's so much important. But also, the other thing that I wanted to showcase to you is that in South Africa, we have the Board of Health Funders, and the board, within the Board of Health Funders, about 70% of the Board of Health Funders, they voted for traditional medicine and care. They realize that it is important for them to acknowledge, you know, traditional medicine and complementary medicine. And that was done at the Devon Conference in July in 2006. But since then, nothing has happened. And you always wonder why things are taking so slow. And then this slide talks about the beneficiation structure on medical aid. And then on this slide, we decided it's important for you to, you know, we're just demonstrating how much CAMS or complementary medicine, because even though complementary medicine is sister science, but some of the plants that they use are very much related to the ones that you use in South Africa. The only thing that most of them are registered in their countries of origin, which is normally India, China, and all of those. But, you know, they also do also have those plans, and they work more or less similar to what we have. And this is a side of Jen, registering some of the breakthroughs and some of the challenges that people continue to have. Before one even gets into the ANT manifesto on the National Health Insurance, I think it's also important for us to, you know, to understand, most particularly as honorable members, that, you know, in 1994, when the new dispensation took over the administration, a lot of us who are traditional health practitioners and people that really wanted political change, because we realized that we were so much under colony, and it was a problem for us as traditional health practitioners to be able to assess our state because of the previous administration. But when ANC took over, we were chosen very disappointed, because we felt that they were going to assess our agenda as traditional health practitioners. But then later on we discovered that, you know, traditional medicine was put somewhere in the periphery and not being able to put it to center stage when we had all the hopes that at least you were going to take it of us, understanding us, and at least knowing that we are there and very much, you know, in support and able to provide the service which is needed by the community. After also the NC had said and committed that it is going to give a space where South Africans are going to be treated in a manner that understands their cultural and religious understanding. But then later on it translated that, you know, things are moving a bit slow and we still continue to be worried, Honorable Chairperson. So we'd like to remind our government to please, you know, review the policies that they took in 1994 and going ahead, including the fact that the ANC manifesto as well, which has been adopted and used for implementing the National Health Insurance, it is very, very important that also it includes the use of traditional medicine into the National Health System, because if traditional medicine is not included into the NHI, then it becomes relatively very difficult for people to, you know, to exercise their right choice of treatment. So we'd like to invite the honorable members to please consider, you know, the inclusion of traditional medicine into the NHI. Of course, these are some of the support materials that we decided to put across. Now, what we then realized is that because of the nature and the pace at which we're moving as a country, we then realized that there were a number of actions that were taken by consumers. Among others, we realized that some of the consumers are beginning to take action and take employers to court. And I don't think it's correct and nice that employers are taken to court because they are not able to assist employees, you know, to demand their rights to cultural and religious expression, and a number of actions. But I think the only remember to be able to go through this thing. But then also that the colleague of mine has alluded to a number of areas that we have achieved in South Africa. And through all those achievements, we then registered that there are a few challenges that we still face as a country. And one of the most important challenges are these ones, that we feel it's important that when you talk about African traditional medicine, in this country, for instance, we do have, we do have research projects that are conducted on drug discovery. But what we are not able to understand as a country is, why is it that all these developments, research developments that are happening through the use of traditional medicine for drugs are not able to benefit directly traditional health practitioners? We are saying this, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, because, you know, you find that in most cases, Department of Science and Technology puts a lot of money into drug discovery, into drug development, but all of that investment goes only to pharmaceutical industry, and it benefits, you know, they already developed, and nothing goes back to the development of the sector. So that arrangement also makes the sector to even remain more poor, and also it creates disparities between the already developed and us who are just there in the periphery. Okay. And then the other thing that we felt is important is that we need to stimulate cultivation of traditional medicinal plants so that we are able to sustain then there is need for us to fund development of the industry. The inclusion of traditional medicine into the national health insurance cannot be overemphasized. The establishment of a ministry, we feel that it's important that a ministry dedicated to traditional medicine be established so that we are able to institutionalize traditional medicine. We are able to ensure that proper infrastructural support is provided to that ministry. Because our belief and understanding is that the Department of Health is already, you know, paid with lots of responsibilities. Now, if you overburden them with a lot of responsibilities, then it makes them even not to, you know, to perform as expected by us. So it is very, very important as well that we, you know, we at least give an aid responsible ministry that is going to take care of our day to day. And then the other thing that we constantly realize is that maybe there is need for, I mean, that there is lack of political will. We feel that our politicians, I'm not sure, honorable members, if you understand how much we expect of you as our leaders, you know, to ensure that at least some of the things that we feel are changing are able to be implemented. So we feel if you could assist us with living up to the expectations. And then the lack of policies and legislation that support traditional medicine development. That there's need for transformation of institutions, of government institutions, so that you're able to then deliver. He has spoken of the good case of the NCC. I think it's very, very important that at least institutions such as the NCC be transformed so that they're able to live up to expectations. That they need for us to implement the Traditional Health Practitioners Act, which is now over 5 years, but has since not been implemented. And that continues to be a worrying threat. as way forward. And way forward and also closure, honorable members. We feel that there is need for South Africa to design a South Africa-specific strategy for the development of African traditional medicine, and also that we need to introduce a multilateral approach to development, to delivery of African traditional medicine, so that we do not have departments working in silos, because the fact that departments working in silos all further extract a lot of money, a lot of taxpayer money. And if this department can work together, they can be able to maximize on performance and delivery can be speeded up. That we all of us need to unite to achieve a sector vision, which is an industry vision, and then the launch of the council cannot be overemphasized, honorable members. Chairperson, honorable chairperson, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. Members, those are the presentations. At least we still have time. I'm seeing two hands. Are there another people? Okay, we're going to be starting. So you'll be answering those questions for us, questions of clarity. I know, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, the traditional healer, there's a group that can treat it. The interesting thing, we didn't call you for that, but it's interesting that in our country, most of the organizations are going for their conferences. So maybe as traditional healers, you could predict who's going to win. The DA is going for his conference, the ANC, the IFP. Maybe you could predict all of them, which one is going to win. Because I'm sure the politicians are very worried who's going to win when all of them, irrespective of which organization, but maybe you help them to say the prediction is this. Okay, we honorable normal, let you the first one to ask questions.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the presentation from both of you, Ms. Ndu and Ms. Mseko. Ms. Ndu, maybe from you. As you say, some of you
know about the health practitioners and you participated, Ms. Marshall was there as well, and you participated, but the rest of the people don't know. Is it not part of your responsibility as well to say we participated here and ask for the act so that you are able to use it to educate the people? Because it's impossible that all the health practitioners can come to one meeting, because it will be a meeting, it will be an indeed. Also, Ms. Ndube, you spoke about research that you'd like to be part of research. I'm not against that, but I'm cautioning that research is best done by researchers, and that you want to be informed how far it is going, or unless it devises a strategy of how then you should know, because it's impossible that traditional practitioners can be part of research, because at times microscopes and whatever other things are being used by the specialists. I'm sure, KPC, you spoke about science and technology supporting research. Indeed, science and technology have got a certain act known as TIA, Technology Innovation Agency, which is used by anyone. If you've got anything that you would want to have it looked at, you just come into touch with the science and technology and tell them, I've got those, and can you tell me which person to use? Or if you've got a person who could help you, you just go to that person, I want to do this and this and this and this. Can you help me? Because at the end of the day, you do get some money for your product if it has been successful and if it is commercialized, that is, if it is used throughout the country. I know most traditional healers fear that professionals adopt that project and they never come up with whatever they should. The next one is, how then can you bring traditional health practitioners together? Because they're scattered all over. And they're jealous of each other all over. And it becomes a problem. Maybe you need to clean your house in that way. For instance, I'm coming on KwaZulu-Natal. And I am told the practitioner hospital is going to be built in Durban in a place known as Duzuma. And one is in the process of being built at Jozini or somewhere there. And they are having some people whom they are going to send to China because they do use a lot of traditional medicine. And finally, MCC. MCC is in the process of transformation as we speak now. So we are also concerned until we were informed that it is in the process of transformation. So whatever cries and rules that we have, hold on, because it's transforming. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. It's going to be open and open. I think this is, I mean, as you gather, you know what, the Department of Health that has been set up to look after the health of the people. And it has got that responsibility. Now, if there's been a confusion since after 1652. And now what you're seeing is those who claim to know, yet when you go deep and you find that they don't know, how do you, as the leader of the health department, how do you make sure that our people are getting the best health services from a situation which has been so distorted? Now, Mr. Director, as Mumbi is putting it, which is what made me to say this, is that there's a, how do you put your house in order so that you could ask somebody else to help you? Honorable Dr. Khaleda.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. It is just a pity that most of the presentation you got them today, that is not really user-friendly, because you could have, like, dealt with them when we come here, we really go straight to the presentation.
you know, I'm a nurse by profession, but the problem has been organizing yourself to be under one roof at the end of the day. The slide which talk about regulation of practitioners, whereby you put traditional health practitioner cancers. Like I said, I'm a nurse, they're missing cancer and other cancers. They are responsible for the training of those professionals. They said even the examination, thereafter they register them under, because they are aware that they have gone through a training which that particular cancer is responsible for. Now, the problem with traditional healer, we've got a lot of teachers, a lot of schools. Like the Sangomas will go to whatever training, the healers, whatever training, the Inga, whatever training. At the end of the day, we are not under one. We don't do the same thing. And that is why, on top of that, we do have phoning who will be pretending to be at the end of the day. How do you really see yourself be under one umbrella, a council, which will be responsible? Because the council, the South African Nursing Council, which I affiliated on, when I do something wrong, they can take me to act. But now, if you are so scared, and how will you be like regulated under one? And like I say, there are good doctors and there are bad doctors at the end of it. That we should admit. And I will even say that in the medical field, there are good and bad. But fortunately, they have been controlled under. If I've been treated by a bad one, or if that person can be seen not claiming to be, and he's not or she's not, he can be taken to task. And you even regulate the syllabus. What do we, when we are saying that I'm an S, I must have gone through. Where I'm in Cape Town, I'm in Manzere, in Northwest. When I'm a professional nurse, I have gone through one thing. Can you really elaborate on that? And lastly, Chairperson, I think this is a very important topic. I think we have to get really a day whereby we really deal with this. I don't know when, as long as it's between now and 2014. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think it is an important topic that we needed to enlighten ourselves. That's why we put it on today. We thought that we were going to finish at 3 o'clock, at 2:45, because Parliament starts at 3 o'clock today. But unfortunately, there's this urgent meeting that has just hopped in that we must say. So we wanted to take it to that, because we don't think we're going to have answers, but we want to have some direction, and we don't want to be seen to be looking down on certain traditions or certain things, but we need to be neutral and say, this is what's happening, and we need to be realistic about our country. So if we try and push down certain things, we're not going to help them by pushing them down. It's not a question of, but the other, I don't know, I grew up in Klingon, but when I grew up there, what was said was that, Ali Lifunda and Noganya Shadin and Ali Fanang the one fundis Abanya and Law Fund Funyana Olandelai. So it's supposed to be a hidden information. That's what they used to tell us, that nobody is supposed to know how he or she treats people. But now we're calling for something else because life is dynamic. We're saying that we need to know what's happening. And life is dynamic and we've got to move with it. But, Makenya. Oh, did you have your hand up? Mema Zipe. I'm not sure whether George had you had your hand up. Oh, let us with Mema Zipe, then he'll come to us. Just start with the ladies first.
Yes,
the ladies first.
No, with your beautiful hairstyle, you can't really come to us. With your beautiful hairstyle, please. The ladies, the
mother, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Comrade George. I have only two or three questions. By the way, person, they say, Amadozi Batola, Umuti Mabale. Manje, uwezindaba ya kuthi bacela ukuthi banyo alomo kunze balale before bazoshela. Chairperson, I just want to ask maybe a clarity if they can share with us that because you are dealing with amadosi and can you brief us? I hear when we go around, because I left with the community, say you can destroy HIV and AIDS. Maybe if you can give us a light on that one, so that you must know when we go to the hospital and then we find you there, somebody is treating HIV and AIDS, and then maybe we can go to you. And the other one is that I don't have a sleep when I see those people. These people are, you say you are working together with SADC, other country. You are part of SADC. Now, I just want to find out that in, let's talk about my area where I come from. I see the small checks. People are having a small pamphlet saying they can, when you are pregnant, they can destroy that pregnancy. No pain, no illness. And they don't have a sister, but they are using the checks. How you deal with those people? Because you find that most of them, they are having the checks next to the station, train station, or next to the malls. I just want to find out that they are registered with you. Or how do you deal with those people? Thank you, Chairperson.
You'll accept the situation that we don't know. We're working from the dark, and we just want to be in the light. And I know you said something, Chairperson. You said it's a spectrum. It's not one way, and you concentrated on traditional medicines and traditional healers, South African ones. But you mentioned a lot of things, but do partners, because we're going to be asking over and above what you told us. Because you said they were homeopaths, they were these ones, they were you actually categorized them. But the questions are not going to come the way that you enlighten us. But you can explain to us that, no, you don't need to ask this one because it's supposed to go to Dr. Peter. Okay, then that's the only man in the comments. The one thing that you must understand, you heard what Umemo Sipo said. Umemo Sipo said, Amadlozi. You've got to go to Amadlozi, which has the ancestor. But if you go to Eden Cape and you talk that language, that's a taboo language. You can't talk like that at Eden Cape. So you must accept that I might not understand the way you pronounce it because of where I come from. So accept my apology.
That's why I'm teaching you how to pronounce it in this other language. Yes, I think we said this, and I thank the presenter. This is a very important document. Like one of the honorable members was saying that we received them today. But I think we will have to make time to meet again on this. Members echo, you've got 72,000 membership, and I want to believe that membership is scattered throughout the country. I will say that definitely you must be included in the National Health Insurance. My question is that did you meet with the department on this matter? If not, why? Because I think there is an open policy with the department to meet with all these people. Yes, I'm a member of the African National Congress, and I'm happy to be reminded that in 1994, people have a right to access traditional practitioners as part of their cultural heritage and belief system. Now, if This should be a resolution that must be implemented by politicians. You see? Yours was to talk on the basis of this resolution. It makes things easy for you. I've got questions, but let me go to Ntate Maseko. Ntate Duku. Duku, yes.
We are making them a couple.
Chairperson, Ntate Duku says that the MCC, the council did not meet for 2 years. If I heard you properly, it needs total revamp. These are some of the things that we need to look at and see how it is possible that the council did not meet for such a long time. I think that is all, Chair, looking at the time. Thanks.
Okay, there was a hand before beyond you, but okay, you can go ahead.
Chairperson, I forgot to answer to question Mama Seko why they didn't include us, our apostles, because we are using wood and flash. Thank you.
I think when I was saying that she categorized them, I was trying to address her because she said it. I'm not protecting her, but she said the difference. But she wanted to concentrate on ATM, not the ATM bank, but the African traditional medicine. But when you put it like that, we think that we've got a lot of money, we should go to the ATM. So it should help. Honorable, do you want to say something?
Thank you, Chairperson. On the first presentation, maybe it's one or two questions. One question. You talked about the research in South Africa that is taking a positive turn. Can you elaborate on that? Because you went on to say you need to have, you said that there is no coalition, so there are those that doesn't talk to one another. And you went on also to say that a ethical approval process is not appropriate and friendly to African traditional medicine to have a sex. And therefore you need a separate council for ATM, as you are commenting about the consultation who is not there and also the top-down approach. Therefore, when you say now the research in South Africa is taking a positive turn, and at the same time, you have this challenge. What is which? Also, you said talking about the monitoring of practitioners. That is the one question from you. And then talking about the monitoring of practitioners. In partnership with KZN from myself. And then, when you say that you're monitoring the practitioners, which partners are you monitoring? Note that you have got those categories which you have unpacked in page, in page 10, under the healthcare practitioners. And also you are talking about the 185 practitioners, medicine practitioners, and complementary medicine practitioners, which as we saw, are they not excluded in the 185, those ones which are complementary. And talking about you need a minister to forward an application with an illicit registration of students, and then so to identify a credible healer. How did you identify the 185 credible healers? Or are you saying they are the students are all included there in the 185 because they are traditional interpreted by healers? And you're talking about Amatwasa, also on the other hand, that you need the Amatwasa to have to be registered, to be credible. Do they all fall under this 185, or they are separate? And also, have you got any strategies to advertise for the benefits of the schemes? And we are talking about the problem with NHI,
where you say you want also to be integrated in the National Health Insurance System, so that you benefit also the ATMs and IK and the IKS also benefit, have benefit of it, so that the consumers also benefit the hard strategy to advertise for these benefits. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You'll understand that life is dynamic. I think there's a time when it is to be one person who thinks for the other and decides for them. And then we went on to a stage where it was sort of democracy, where people would question certain things and actually elect their own people and say, no, we want so and so. And then that went on to the research work. I think where we are now, we're in an era of information, where you research and you say this. But there's something that was mentioned yesterday by the chief in the launch of the book. He mentioned it jokingly and passing and said, the person who's well and trained would come up and say, this medicine shows this, and it has been researched and been tested. But somebody else would sleep at home and dream. And think that there's a particular tree at a particular corner, that tree can cure in a dream. And then he or she wakes up and go and get that tree and use it for that. Unfortunately, that part doesn't conform with the level of thinking that you are in. So I think that's where the bone of contention is, as to how do we connect this? Because the Minister of Health is going to want, how do I know that this one is good? How this one should be used, because I'm looking after the health of South Africans. On the other side, Professor is going to say, no, I know this medicine works, and at this doses, so give it to the person. But he's going to account later on, and he's going to account to the whole world that why is infant death in South Africa like this. He's not going to say, no, it's one particular list. I think that's where the bone of contention is. Is how do you make... How do we tie those things? I remember some of the things you can't answer. I remember one time, my young one just said to the mother, is God a male or a female? And the mother said, no, you don't ask those questions. It's blasphemy. And that was the end of it. You know, there are situations where you close the debate. You just say, let it stop there. You've got to believe, you've got to have faith that this is what's happening. I'm not sure which is the right one. We're asking these questions because we want to know which is the right one.
Okay, I didn't say no.
How much of a rush are you? Because
we've got 15 minutes for them.
Well, just to say, obviously, we're glad to have a presentation. We know in January in Thailand where we were remembering that we really haven't paid the kind of attention that we need to the subject. You just mentioned the traditional health practitioner council, and my colleagues brought up a lot of the issues that around that. Have you taken that to the health department, and maybe we could have access to what kind of discussions you've had around it with other people, so we can come up to speed with what the conversations are about? Because clearly, we do need to look at what we're thinking there. And then the thoughts across my mind, and I don't want to be disrespectful when I ask them, because they cross my mind, I just want to know if you've kind of looked at that and figured out for yourself, you know, why. 185,500 traditional medicine practitioners, it doesn't say how many people are using those practitioners, and I don't know if that links to the 27 million consumers of medicine. So that would be more than half of South Africa. Now, at the same time, we have a huge increase, constant increase of people trying to access our public health system. And it would seem then that people are not getting better because they're then coming from the traditional medicine into the public health sector. So that sort of, we can't work that out. And I'm just wondering if you are looking at that. If so many people are using this and they were satisfied, what then are we doing with all of those people in our public health sector? That doesn't have to be answered now. I'm just thinking those, if you know, those are the kind of things we have to figure out. You can help us in figuring it out.
I think you're right. Can we agree on this? that this is an important
problem. Oh, yeah. Maybe we are going to need another, because we are going to be very unfair to them. We're putting a lot of questions which they are not going to be able to answer in this podcast. So we're going to find another time and call you. You might even, having assessed the questions, you might have to come with other people that are going to be assisting you in those particular, because we're not concentrating on ATM only. We went beyond your ATM. Method?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. Mema Masako, I just wanted to find out, on the issue of, you said that you are having 185,000 traditional medicine practitioners. I wanted to find out, do they register annually? Do they pay any annual fee? That is my question. You also said that as an organization, you have established a code of ethics and conduct. But I want to find out, is there anybody who is doing the inspection to see these people, are they complying in all those things? And if they are failing to do so, what measures or what analysis are you holding to them? The other thing, according to the presentation, you said that there's about 133,000 income earning opportunities. You said that classified them so nicely that they are about 63,000 plus harvesters or whatever. But I wanted to find out, how did you compile the steps? Can you maybe link it to money-wise in terms of how much money that is deep according to the income and opportunities? If you can just tell us the money, how much it is. According to the first presentation, say when you started, somehow you said that you've been trying to make an appointment with the minister, but the appointment was never materialized. I just wanted to find out how many times have you tried, what was the reason not to meet the minister? Because I truly believe that working with you is going to make life for all of us very easy. I also share the same sentiment with our chairperson. I grew up in a family, my own grandmother was a traditional doctor. But somehow, certain things, because I happened to be in the health profession, I didn't understand certain things, how she did it. And we raised not to ask, but now I find myself in a difficult position today. But unfortunately, I need to ask questions and get answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Joe. We've got a department. Somebody is running the department. If I see you go, you're going to leave. So you are allowed to leave, Joe, because we are not going to go any further. But can we give over to you? It's almost, we are left with 5 minutes. But rest assured that you're still going to have another time. We're going to call you. But obviously, it won't be before November. It won't be before December. It will be after those 3 months. But we'll need to call you. It will be probably next year. But you can try those few ones that you want to quickly. You can just choose those ones that you think they're eating.
Okay, thanks a lot, honorable members and the chairperson. You know, our way of work as an organization is based entirely on the Traditional Health Practitioners Act. Because before the Act, before 2007, we were using our own way of regulating, you know, members. But then now we decided, therefore, that we need to ensure that we confine everything that we do within the confines of this particular piece of legislation, which therefore suggests that we can therefore not include, honorable member, any other person that practices outside, you know, the four categories which are mentioned in the Act. Abapostoli or faith health practitioners and all those, they are not necessarily part of those four. Because those ones, what we then discovered was that they are not necessarily working on site. But instead, what they do in most cases is that they're using, you know, they're mostly relying on spiritual, you know, feedback and all of that. So we said that because we wanted to make sure that we professionalize our practice and show that we confine ourselves to science, let us rather use and concentrate on science so that at least we become authentic enough. But then the honorable member was asking, how did we arrive at the facts vis-a-vis the economic benefits plan? This is not necessarily our own survey. This is a survey that was conducted by the South African Health Review of 2004, if I'm not mistaken, 2007. It is. We then benefited from that study as well because we're part and parcel of the sampling. And then, now, traditional medicine has achieved quite a number of breakthroughs, but that is why we are saying as honorable members, if you can also assist us, you know, ensure that if there's any funding that is requested in the name of drug development, If those people that are part of research can be able, you know, to understand the importance of ensuring that traditional medicine also gets, you know, is benefited through the investment that is done through trust development. Because at the end of the day, you find that people request money, and then they are given money by departments, and the accolades and the benefits are only accrued by the pharmaceutical industry, and nothing goes back to developing the center of the sector of traditional medicine. That is why it's really important. For instance, let me just make you a practical example. If twins are joined to the head or anyway, if there is, you know, bomb ponya, yes, in such situations, it's a traditional medicinal plant that was used, that is used for such situations. And that traditional plant is called cyclosporin. It is traditional African medicine. And it's not just only that. You know, it's quite a number of others. It's aspirin, there are quite a number of drugs. And I brought with me the Healer magazine, which is a magazine that we compile as an organization and ensure that give out to strategic departments and persons like yourselves who are honorable politicians. And I think it would be nice that you have access to that. There's a whole two-page of traditional medicinal plants that were used for drug development. So I think that will assist you understand some of the things.
And I don't want to do this, but I assume I have got to do it because of that. I really want to apologize for this and then say we're going to be calling. Maybe you can finish up and then we give it over to Unduku. Just to say a few words and then we allow them to run. It's taking time for them to get where they want to get.
I think there's quite a lot of things to talk about and the time is very limited. So maybe what I could advise them to do is probably if you could visit, go back to the presentations, try and familiarize yourself with the presentation vis-a-vis the Traditional Health Practitioners Act. I think those would assist you understand exactly as to what is it that we need. But most of the problems that we have as in terms of false claims, registrations, and all of those things can only be corrected if the ministry is dedicated to ensure that this service is also alleviated. If we could have a council is going to be able to regulate most of these things. And I think it's difficult for us to probably respond to a number of them in just a short space of time. Otherwise, thank you so very much for affording us the opportunity. So was that.
There's another time that we're going to give you. I promise you, I'm not drunk. Just in 2 minutes. Sorry.
Thanks, Honorable Chairman, members. I think the issue that has been raised by members is the issue of unity among practitioners. In 1996, we were asked by this committee the same question, and we addressed it thoroughly. Because I think one, we must acknowledge that this letter has been marginalized. And the health sector has been paradigm. And we are saying, consciously, we must seek to affirm the sector. And in affirming, follow the same route that has been followed on traditional leaders. Mm-hmm. Because traditional leaders have been well affirmed, acknowledging their complexities. The sector is complex. But again, I'm saying, it is the very committee that acknowledges that there was progress in the unity in this sector. Hence, then, it was able to actually to draft and present a bill and present it before Parliament. Stephanie, I think the second issue that has been actually raised is knowledge about the Act. And acknowledge that it was the political will. I think that's what is important. It was the political will that gave direction to the department. And that was political will has made practitioners to be participating in the formulation of the legislation, participated in the roadshows throughout the country. When the act was challenged in Parliament, and again, the process of further public consultation was engaged, and we were part of that process. We went through all the provinces and the practitioners participated. So I think that there are still issues in terms of breaking the linkage between the sector and the department. And I'm saying, is that one can win, which we say we are telling to the committee to look at it microscopically. Because I think the issue of the sector and department should not depend as to who is the minister at the time. So I think that's one issue that is really clear. Hence now we start to wonder whether are we correct to have the sector affairs in that department, or they should be in another department so that they could be focused, not a by the way. And Chair, I think lastly, I want to comment that almost all the questions will be them and they will be able to send responses. And I would appreciate to really have an engagement on these issues with the members. And in terms of meeting with the minister, we can answer outside this meeting.
Thank you very much. Members, thank you very much. More than having the questions written down, we would like to engage with you face to face. I think this is what I want to start. But if you could be sending some of those, you could send them, because it's not going to be a short time before we actually meet. But we want to meet you face to face so that we could answer questions. Thank you very much, members.
Let's give me Chairperson and members, honorable members. Could I check how far is the process of screening of nominees for council? Has anything been done yet? Do you know anything about it?
Okay, I think that is being done by the department, not by us. So we've got no knowledge, but we'll be asking the department about that actually when we meet. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I wanted to know about that book we were supposed to receive yesterday. I'm so keen to start reading it, but we haven't been given them yet. I thought they might come today. Oh, you know?
I think we were supposed to go back yesterday. But it doesn't matter. I'll ask Vera to make sure that he gets your copy. Okay. No, we'll try and get one because there were supposed to be those that are coming.
I'll get one. I got one. I didn't go back there, but I got one.
I'm